Thank you for tuning in to our midweek sermon this week. Today is April the 29th, 2020, and our sermon text is taken from the book of Esther. Esther chapter 4 in verse 14. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now we're going to spend a little bit of time telling the story of Esther, and then we're going to make some personal applications to our own lives. So beginning in the book of Esther chapter 1 in verse 1 we read, Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this was the Ahasuerus who reigned over 127 provinces, from India to Ethiopia. In those days, when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the citadel, that in the third year of his reign, he made a feast for all his officials and servants, the powers of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of the provinces being before him. And fast forwarding down to Esther chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. Bear with me, this is a little bit of an extended passage, but if we're going to understand what the book of Esther is about and how it came to be that she became the queen for such a time as this, we've got to get all this. So in Esther chapter 1 and verse 10, we read, On the seventh day when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abigtha, Zithar, and Carcass, seven eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing her royal crown, in order to show her beauty to the people and the officials, for she was beautiful to behold. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command brought by his eunuchs. Therefore the king was furious, and his anger burned within him. And now at this point, King Ahasuerus was advised that if Queen Vashti was not dethroned, then all of the women throughout the realm would start disobeying their husbands, and all authority would break down in the kingdom. And so Queen Vashti is removed, and now King Ahasuerus, he's got to go find himself another queen. So we come to Esther chapter 2 in verse 17, where after the whole vetting process had been done, we read that the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And then the king made a great feast, the Feast of Esther, for all his officials and servants, and he proclaimed a holiday in the provinces and gave gifts according to the generosity of a king. Now, as the narrative continues, we fast forward to Esther chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and we read that after these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were with him. And all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. So Haman ends up having a bone to pick with Mordecai. And so he comes back to King Ahasuerus in Esther chapter 3 in verse 8. And he says that there is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasury. So the king took a signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. Well, Mordecai, the Jew, gets wind of this, and he's going to communicate this whole scenario to Esther, who is within the king's palace, and as it turns out, she's really in a key spot to be able to save her people, the Jews. And so in Esther chapter 4, beginning in verse 10, we read that Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants in the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court of the king who has not been called, he has but one law: put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all of the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." The days were difficult. The days were evil. But Esther was in the place where she was because God had a purpose for her. God had a special call on Esther's life for such a time as this. Would she prove faithful, or would she faint in the hour of adversity? Would she be courageous, or would she be a coward? Would she live in God's purpose despite the imminent danger, or would she refuse the call of God on her life? Now, the story of Esther has a happy ending, because Esther stood fast. She heard God's call. She gathered up her courage, and she lived according to God's purpose for such a time as this. And so we read in Esther chapter 8, beginning in verse 3. "Now Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, and implored him with tears to counteract the evil of Haman the Agagite and the scheme which he had devised against the Jews. And the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, 'If it pleases the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right to the king, and I am pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that will come to my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my countrymen?' And then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew, 'Indeed, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay his hand on the Jews. You yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name, and seal it with the king's signet ring, for whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke.' So the king's scribes have called at that time, in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded, to the Jews, the satraps, the governors, and the princes of the provinces from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces in all, to every province in his own script, to every people in their own language, and to the Jews in their own script and language. And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, sealed it with the king's signet ring, and sent letters by couriers on horseback, riding on royal horses, bred from swift steeds. And by these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and to protect their lives, to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of any people or province that would assault them, both little children and women, and to plunder their possessions. On one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, a copy of the document was to be issued as a decree in every province and published for all people, so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The couriers who rode on royal horses went out, hastened, and pressed on by the king's command, and the decree was issued in Shushan the citadel. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, with a great crown of gold and a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor. And in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. And then many of the people of the land became Jews, because fear of the Jews fell upon them. And the Feast of Purim is celebrated, my friends, to this day, to remember that day in which God delivered his people, Israel. And it all started with one woman, Queen Esther, who stood in the gap for such a time as this. Now let us apply this to our case today. The days are difficult and evil, and yet God has a purpose for you in this time and place. Will you live in his purpose, or will you refuse the call of God on your life? Now the days, just as they were in the days of Esther, are difficult and evil. Throughout human history, this has most often been so. We've been blessed to have lived over the past few decades in relative peace, many of us. But this has been quite a blessing, an anomaly. One need only read Esther and all of the Old Testament with an eye to historical conditions, and also observe that history has repeated itself for the last 2,000 years. But yet, the Christian rejoices in Jesus Christ, who has gained the victory over sin and death and given us a living hope. When the time came for sin to be vanquished, and the Son of Man knelt in prayer and agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the cup of the wrath of God was set before him, he knew that it was time. That it was his time to fulfill his mission for such a time as this. And so the Apostle Paul was able to write, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But our hope is attained to by faith in the only begotten Son of God. So God has a purpose for you in this time and place. Esther was where she was for such a time as this. We spoke a moment ago of the consummation of the fulfillment of our scripture. The one who did his work for such a time as this. There are no accidents in God's economy. Remember Joseph, who had been sold into slavery by his brothers. And the scripture records in the 45th chapter of Genesis and the 7th verse, his words. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. And then in Genesis chapter 50, in verse 20, beautiful verse right here. Genesis chapter 50 in verse 20. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Is there still not enough evidence for you that God has a perfect purpose for you and that there are no accidents in God's economy? Well then, consider the prophet Jeremiah, of whom it is written, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." And so it is only fitting that in that very same book, we read the words of the Lord which ring true universally. They ring true for you. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." We've been called away. We've been drawn away by our own desires. And we've been held captive to sin, but we have been freed by, in, and through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So now I pose to you a question. Will you live in his purpose, or will you refuse the call of God in your life? Now there is a time for every purpose under heaven. This is your time. Time to do what, you ask? Well, to be a part of what the Lord is doing on earth. There is something to be done. And God's perfect will is that you do it, for He has appointed you to do it. You can make excuses. I'm too tired. I got too much to do. I've got to check my Twitter account. Whatever it is. Or you can play the coward. But if you do, God will surely raise up someone else to do the task. But you shall have missed the great blessing of knowing what it is to walk in God's purpose for your life. You know what? Maybe Esther, let's say Esther just says, you know what? I'm afraid I think there's a 68% chance that King Ahasuerus is going to have me stricken dead. And so I'm not going to say anything. But you know what? God would have saved His people Israel one way or another, by hook or by crook, because God's people Israel are going to continue to exist. God promised that in His Word. But then Esther would have missed the blessing, and she would have went down in history as the cowardly queen and not the courageous, godly woman of faith that she was, that we can look to today as an example. What about you? How are you going to go down in history? Your purpose is unique. And there are two things that you must know about your purpose. First, that you are not called to walk in another person's purpose. You have your own purpose. Second, your purpose in your life matters. I've got my purpose, you've got yours. Remember what Jesus said at His anointing, one of His anointings. He said, "What this woman has done will be spoken of as a memorial for her throughout all subsequent generations." And what do we do now? We read all about it. Every time we pick up God's Word, and we come to the 26th chapter of Matthew, we read about what that woman did. Now, that woman probably didn't think it was such a big deal. She wasn't concerned about getting her name in the Gospel of Matthew. She was concerned about getting her name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that she did. And God saw that, and He recorded that. See, that woman had a unique purpose. And the Lord rewarded it. For such a time as this, it is always time to choose whom you will serve and you will follow. God's work, friends, is finished. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. If you have not done so, choose this day to follow God through Jesus Christ. It's no accident you're listening to this message. It's no accident you're feeling the gentle tug of God the Holy Spirit on your heartstrings. Choose to follow God through Jesus Christ this day. Choose to step out in faith and obedience like Esther did, learning God's purposes through His Word and walking in them as He leads you through circumstances, blessings, and trials in your life. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Lord God, we pray that You use this sermon, that many will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.